This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Friday.
Busy day today.
It is a very busy day today. Steve Kerr is on in just over an hour. And we've been telling you, I know there's been a lot of talk about it. Tony Vitello is going to be on the show today, and that's he's been downgraded to questionable.
Yeah, I was waiting for your Shanahan right there.
Yeah.
Possibly.
We're going to get Tony.
No doubt.
And it's either today or it'll be early next week. But it's funny with the back and forth that we're experiencing about it right now. I'm reminded of something that happened in the press conference yesterday, where Buster Posey said, I wish this guy was easier to get a hold of. Like, Tony might, and it's not a Garoppolo thing where he just blows off his text.
See ya.
I actually take this, for the moment, we're still getting to know Tony, but I'm going to use it as a compliment for now. I think he's one of these people that does a really good job of being so engrossed in whatever he's doing right now. And I wish I had more of this in me. My kids get mad at me because they'll be like, Dad, let me tell you about something that happened to school today. And I'll be like, yeah, tell me about something. And then I'm like, whoop. And there goes my eyes and my focus straight to the phone because Dibley texted me, oh, my picks stink, or something like that.
Yeah, it's a fact.
Something like that. And I get too easily discombobulated and lose focus. I don't think Tony Vitello has that problem. So whatever he's doing, he's all in. And maybe he's grinding on what pitchers he wants in the bullpen next year. I have no idea. But we're working away on it. But Steve Kerr in a little bit over an hour. And yes, it's Halloween. So happy Halloween. And Kyle just spoke. And it was kind of awkward and terse. And so we'll play that for you. And the Warriors lost a basketball game last night after Giannis didn't play. So yeah, there's plenty to get into.
Right. The Warriors lost a basketball game. And they've played six and they've lost two. And I liked what you said in our show thread about load managing. As a fan, you can look at last night and you can have takes and you can have opinions. And I'm hoping that everybody does at 888-957-9570. I looked at it and watched a lot of it again today and thought, Milwaukee had some open threes. They hit them. They had some really difficult threes. They hit them. A former Warrior had a career night and everyone in a Warrior uniform was mostly mid. So when those things happen, you're going to lose. And, even with that, you got down late fourth quarter. You had a chance. And then they threw up a couple of just, not lucky shots, but tough shots and open three. And next thing you know, you lose. So you get 82 of them. That won't be their 82nd best game. We already know it's not their best game. That game will probably fall in the 50s. If you rank all of their 82 performances, there's going to be worse games than that. And there already have been better games than that. So you just move on.
Yeah, like what I said to Guru is what I sort of worked toward what I want to say today about this basketball game. And maybe we meet the NBA where they sit with all of this load management. And we need to do it too. Did this knock people kind of off their spot last night? I was excited about it. And we all have the same thought process, I think, when a star goes out, which is like, oh, cool, we got this. And Steve Kerr has tried to tell us before. I guarantee you he'll say it again today. He hates it when the other star of the other team is out, especially when it's last minute, because you have to sort of like reshuffle your game plan, and then you've got to figure out now, okay, who is this other person that we're guarding? Maybe their game plan kind of changes a little bit. That person's going to come in super motivated. That person is still an NBA player and capable of putting the ball in the basket. Was there a little rub your nose in it that it was a former Warrior draft pick that totally crushed the Warriors last night? Sure, I guess if you want that to be a thing. But Ryan Rollins has been through a bunch of years and a few different teams before we're now realizing, turns out he's a pretty good player. There's a silver lining there. Sometimes I look at that and I go, oh, look, the Warriors were right. They actually saw something in this kid, and they were right. It didn't make it to the point where it's going to happen for the Warriors, but okay. Like, I don't know. I just, for me, the topsy-turvy nature of if you lose a game, we're going to run to let's figure out why and immediately talk about what's wrong with the Warriors if you lose a game. I would much rather look at groups of games and assume that not all of them are going to go your way. It's the NBA. You're going to lose a bunch of these. You're going to lose a bunch of these. And I would like to, at least for me as a fan, I'm going to adopt what Steve Kerr already said. Steve Kerr said our goal every week is to win the week. And they went 2-1 week one, and they're 2-1 so far in week two with one more shot and an opportunity to go 3-1. I accept that. I accept that. Like, I don't need any NBA team to be perfect, and I don't think such a thing exists. And if it did, gambling would be a lot easier than it is.
Right.
I know that.
Certainly. And, you know, you look at winning the week, even if you push the week 2-2, that's fine. And Steve had said this before, where you win the week, you're going to be a 50-win team. And he's absolutely right. And I just look at, in the small sample of what last night was, you went out to Milwaukee. They didn't have their star. And whether or not the Warriors let down or not, Milwaukee was clearly jacked up. And guys who don't normally get to shoot as much, Ryan Rollins is one, although he's having a great start to this season. But a lot of other guys with no Giannis, you get the ball more, you get in more of a rhythm, you get to shoot more, you play freer, there's a lot less pressure. Those are the things that Steve talked about and will talk about with us today. And, you know, the Warriors, I thought, didn't really have that big response. In the third quarter, the other night against the Clippers, that was the quarter. And then last night against Milwaukee, the third quarter, and especially something to keep an eye on, the Al Horford minutes. The Al Horford minutes are not going great from a plus-minus standpoint. He had a couple of blocks last night. He hit a three, but the second unit is going to be inconsistent, and last night they weren't great.
Yeah, I don't know. I apologize to everybody, but the Warriors lost, and my reaction was shoulder shrug. I say that knowing that there have been wins when we come in and we're excited, but my excitement based on the start of this season, I think I tried to say this the other night, and Dibs, I don't know if you agree with me. My excitement based on the season so far is not based on any one quarter, any one half, or any one game. I think that that's too much of an up and down ride. So I hope it doesn't sound like we're in here celebrating the wins and blowing off the losses. I tend to think that I'm more looking at characteristics of the Warriors. Like right now, their defense is not a completed project. That's clear.
I think no defense really is.
Yeah,
so
we said that going into the Clipper game, which is why I was pretty excited that they had the effort that they had in that one. But my excitement about the Warriors right now is based on the puzzle pieces that I see in these games that have been there more often than not, and also projecting where I think that can kind of go next. And I think they're going to win a lot more games than they lose, and that's what it's looked like so far, but I don't think they're a completed product. No team is without weaknesses. The Warriors have some too, but I'm not going to get all out of whack when they lose a basketball game, especially on the road.
Well, if they win a lot of games, and let's just put 52 out there, because that makes a clean, even 30 on the back end, you're going to lose 30 games. If you win 52, there are going to be 30 games like last night where you lose, and you lost at Portland, and that was a much worse loss because you got run off the floor. It was back-to-back, and yeah, you retired, you traveled, whatever. It was a scheduled loss. And last night, without Giannis, you're thinking, yeah, this is a gettable one.
Totally
Milwaukee
was.
Played better than you, and you lose. So if you're going to lose 30 games, you're going to lose 28 more games. And of those 28, there'll be a small handful of, oh my God, they blew it. There'll be a small handful of, they played great and they lost. There'll be a handful of, ooh, boy, bad schedule spot. There'll be a handful of, man, that team was just better. They're going to lose in so many different ways. And last night for me, there was nothing as a big takeaway like, oh, God, that's a problem.
Yeah,
you got beat.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Like, why can't what happened? They played like crap.
They play all right.
They didn't play well.
They didn't play terribly, but Milwaukee played better.
Like, that's all. Yeah. And I do think Milwaukee deserves some credit.
Absolutely.
They shot the ball really, really well. We watched this in the NBA. Come on. Come on. If the better team won every night, Oklahoma City would go 82-0. They're the best team. That's clear, is it not?
Yeah,
that's
probably
the best team. But, like, the Warriors didn't play well last night. It doesn't mean they're not capable of it. And it does, like, I'm already blowing off this whole, like, I heard a lot of people today go, oh, here it's the age. Like, oh, gosh, that's just so easy. That's so easy to just kind of throw that out there that it's the age and that there's fatigue and all of it. No, they played like crap. Warriors Summit next Thursday, we'll tell you about that a little bit more coming up next. But let's talk about it. And then there's Shanahan stuff you got to hear. But 888-957-9570. Did last night get under your skin? Or is it an easy blow off for you? 888-957-9570. Happy Halloween, Swillard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's the question?
What are you asking exactly? I'm so confused by your question.
I think you just answered your own question.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we're going to get to some Kyle here in just a sec. Just a sec, because this is fresh. And,
yes.
It's interesting. It is interesting. And I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to promise you all right now, Dibs, starting with you. I'm going to do everything in my power to not make this about the conversation that we had 48 hours ago.
There'll be a victory lap.
No, it's not.
You ever watch the Olympics track and field events?
You
see you grab a flag and you drape it around and then you do that lap. That is what a victory lap looks like.
But
that's
not what.
You're going to grab the 95.7 The Game banner behind you, drape it around those broad shoulders of yours, and just do a lap.
Yes.
That's not, I mean, maybe, but that's not where my head's at.
Possibly.
I don't want to also assume that everybody listening knows what we're even talking about. But 2 days ago,
in a
ho-hum press conference with that man, Kyle Shanahan, down in Santa Clara, there was next to, I don't want to say zero, but there was very little discussion about Brock Purdy, and Mac Jones's name never even came up. And I was knocked off kilter by it. And we talked about it a lot during the show. I was just like, how can that not be the line of questioning? And then I started getting text messages from people in the building, and Cam Inman was already booked on the show, and he came on the show, and he and I, you know, we sparred a little bit, which is totally fine. It's all good. But I didn't understand why the 49er quarterback wouldn't be a bigger subject matter. And by the way, that wasn't even just about people asking questions. It's about an umbrella idea of, like, why isn't there more of a drumbeat about this whole situation? Because those people in that room are very good at their jobs. And therefore, if they feel like the fans are out there going, Purdy, Purdy, if they feel like, or at least there's some sort of angst or stress about it, then I think that they're more likely to dig a little bit. And they didn't. And some of them did not like that, that I was kind of pointing that out. And then from that moment forward, that's kind of been all that anybody's talking about.
Time to find the flag.
So from
that point forward.
But that's all I was getting at. It was like, right? This is what we care about.
My counterpoint was today is the day, because Wednesday you still don't know. He speaks before practice. They don't know what he's going to even really do on Wednesday. Hell, we don't even know if we're going to be here on Friday.
Right.
Turns out we were.
And obviously, there's a risk with everything.
He got some reps today with the first team. We don't know if it was a lot or not, but he didn't get enough to be the guy, and so we'll get into that on the other side.
No doubt. And by the way, my counter to that is I don't buy for 1 second that a football team does not know what its $53 million quarterback is doing every hour of the day. So the idea that, like, I get what you're saying, you haven't practiced yet, but they've been with him every day. He's been a limited participant for over 2 weeks. To me, Wednesday or not, it's worth sort of an update of like, where are we at? But today is more important than Wednesday, because today is official designation day. And the designation did come out differently than it has over the last couple of weeks, which is why I think everybody was like, oh, time to ask more questions. And then Kyle sort of sounded like, yeah, I still don't want to answer questions.
Right.
Next question. Yeah, well, the question is about Brock Purdy.
Can you just answer your own question?
Some of us are wondering when he's going to play.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kyle. And then the underbelly to all of this, the one thing that I don't buy that's kind of being thrown around is that Kyle and the 49ers don't care what the surface is on which they play. Brock's ready, black and white. I thought he admitted today it's not black and white.
He didn't say that. You're inferring that from what he said.
One sentence was he's got a chance to play.
Yep.
And on another sentence it was he's not fully healthy. And if we go back to previous statements, it was we don't want him to play until he's fully healthy. So if you blend all those into a blender, it's going to stall.
Well, he's not fully healthy. So
then he should automatically not have a chance to play.
Where did he play when he came back from injury last time? When he went through practice, was that a home game?
Yes, it was against Jacksonville.
Okay. So he was able to play there. He went through 3 days of full practice. He took all the snaps as the one, and he played. That, to me, is my big takeaway today, is he's not getting all the snaps as the one, so he's not going to be the one. And if he's not the one, he might be able to be the two. He's questionable. Questionable concern.
Yeah, that's
to be the two.
That's totally fine.
Which tells me that he won't be the two, because if he's the two and Adrian Martinez is the three, then he's no longer going to be a 49er because he can't go to the squad and then come back. So now you'll need a new three. And so what are we even doing here, honestly, if we're trying to create one problem and solve another?
No, it doesn't work. But that's the Niners have said publicly they don't want to play Purdy again until he's 100%. And he's not 100%, but he has, quote, a chance to play. That's all I'm saying. These lead to questions. And they tried to ask them today, and Kyle does not want to really answer them. And I get why Kyle is terse and doesn't want to answer. And, you know, like one thing Cam pointed out the other day that I, like, has stuck with me, he's like, you realize, like, Jim Harbaugh, if you ask these questions of Jim Harbaugh, He would Drew Rosenhaus you.
Not Harbaugh. But Harbaugh.
Harbaugh. If you said, hey, Brock, what's going on? Next question. On to Cincinnati. I'm not talking about injuries.
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
So Kyle will do it. I don't know if I really call him all that willing or able or excited about it. But he'll do it because he's Kyle Shanahan, and that's more of his style. But I get that he's annoyed with it by now, and he's limited with what he can say.
And he's, limited with what he actually knows. I mean, he knows that Brock didn't take all the first-team reps, and so he's not going to start. And he also knows that having him go out there and be the two means other things for the roster and the future of the quarterback position from a depth standpoint. And he also probably knows that if he is not totally healthy, this is not a great place to have him go out there and play. Not only the field, but they've got a really good pass rush. They're not good against the run, the New York Giants, but they are good against the pass. And yeah, if you're going to have a quarterback get tattooed with an offensive line that hasn't been great, sorry, Mac, we're going to need you to take one more turn at being the crash test dummy.
Let's take everybody through what Kyle said today and what the back and forth sounded like, and then we'll take some calls on this, okay? So here it is. Shanahan on Purdy having a chance to play.
This is the first time that Brock has been questionable here and not out. What does that mean as far as possible availability for Sunday's game?
That means he's got a chance to be available.
You have a chance to start?
No, Max can be starting.
Okay. So Kyle's been doing this a lot lately where he just repeats the question kind of back to the reporter. What, like, he's questionable, so what does that mean with regard to him having a chance to play? It means he has a chance to play.
Right.
Last week or on Wednesday, there was the question of what do you need to see at practice this week to make sure that Purdy is comfortable and confident? He goes, we need to see that he's comfortable and confident.
Right.
I mean, again, like he's batting back and forth with people. He doesn't want to answer it. He kind of can't answer it to a degree. But I still think it's right to try and to try to get as much info. And his tone in and of itself, I think, is info.
Right. And his tone is one of frustration and annoyance because the questions that they're asking, they have to ask him, and he knows that. And the answers that he's giving are the only answers that he can give, and the reporters know that. So it's really, it's a dance. It's like the old middle school dance where you're barely touching your partner and you're stepping side to side in unison. Neither one of you probably wants to be there. This isn't going anywhere. You're not going to get what you really want. You're just doing it because you're in a dance and you're supposed to dance, and so we're doing this dance.
But you can't handle prom until you've done that. Would be my response.
Essentially.
You can't take her to a hotel in the city as an 18-year-old until you've done middle school. You got to go through the process.
Yes, and the that's process what we're is, doing. And the process is, it's about as stiff and uncomfortable as a middle school dance.
It's awkward and annoying.
Right, right. Because
you got to do it.
You do have to do
you
it.
Do and, it.
Well, they both have to do it. Kyle actually legitimately has to do it. It's part of his job. And the reporters, they can do it a different way. They can be more aggressive, like the really excited eighth grade boy. It's like, whoa, back up, Logan. You know, just dial that back. You know, because if we're in a different market. Yeah, sorry about that. No,
that was great.
If we were in a different market.
Back up, Logan.
This Q&A would go differently if we were in Philly.
Yeah.
Kyle, this is Big Dom, Philadelphia Inquirer.
Yeah.
Is he going to start?
I mean, here
is he going to play?
This is a back and forth between Kyle and Eric Branch.
You've discussed it's a delicate situation with the toe. You don't want to have it aggravated again. I mean, this obviously has a chance to play. So how do you, I guess, balance that? Like, he could play, and that means he could aggravate it again. I mean, is his toe fully healthy?
What's the question? Is his toe fully healthy? No, it's not fully healthy.
It's not fully healthy, so there's a chance, yeah, when he gets out to play. So there's a risk with it, I guess. Obviously, there's a risk always, but there's a risk that he could aggravate it again.
Yes, I think you just answered your own question. Obviously, there's a risk with everything. But yes. Can you hurt it again? Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, he did answer his own question. And
well, it's tough because the reporter wants to try to ask this the right way. And in that process, when you're searching, and I've done this, we've all done this in an interview, in that process, you end up asking five questions. And the subject will just answer the last one. And if you're weaving your way through that conversation, there's a real good chance you might answer your own question.
You did.
And then they just duck out. So, like,
yeah. Just answer your own question.
The process with Kyle might be to just be like, okay, damn it, I'm going to limit myself to one sentence.
Right. What does he have to do to be able to play on Sunday? Like, what does he have to do during the week to be ready to go?
I think a great question today might have been, why is he questionable this week? And he wasn't last week. Like, Mayoko.
Because he's making progress.
Mayoko, well, then let's hear Kyle. I don't know what he would have said. Maybe, probably. But again, that's what I would let's hear how he responds. And let's hear the tone. Mayoko was right on point with that being the first subject matter. Because if you're all looking for progress, there it is. He was out 2 weeks ago. He was out last week. He's questionable this week. That's different. And so that's the subject matter. But what if we asked why? What happened that allowed that upgrade as far as the designation? I'll see what he says.
Yeah.
What happened in practice this week that made you change that?
I think it's just because he looked better. And Matt Maiocco reported that yesterday, I think, where he looked better than he has in a long time at practice. So he's looking better, and he's not going to start because he didn't get all the first-team reps. So we're going to list him as questionable. We're going to fly him to New York, and maybe he'll be the backup. Maybe he won't be. Stay tuned. Maybe they haven't really made that decision yet.
But I bet they have.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
But they
don't
need to tell you or the league until tomorrow.
Correct. They do not. Actually, they don't until 90 minutes before kickoff.
Well, they need to make roster moves tomorrow if they're going to have Adrian be the three or whatever they need to do with that. They need to make that designation tomorrow by noon, I believe.
Here is Shanahan talking about the starter reps for Purdy this week.
He didn't get all the starter reps this week. You know, as soon as he had a chance to get through practice and stuff the first time, we let him get all those starter reps, and it was great. And then there was a chance he could rehurt in the game, and he did, and he's been out for the last month. He's got more reps this week, but we weren't going to commit to all of that like we did last time. So I think it's easing him back more than last time.
Okay. So, yeah, that's kind of an expansive answer. And then on how Purdy is dealing with the injury.
Brock's a pretty composed guy, so he's not going to get real emotional either way. In either situation, he's never going to get too up or too down, but speaking for him, I know he's frustrated. Anytime you got stuff that you haven't had before that lingers, I mean, Brock is more frustrated than anyone that he can't be out there. So, you know, he's talked to a lot of people who have this, so I think a lot of people have warned him that this is the case, you know, so he understands it, so it's not just totally shocking him, but I think anytime you have something that doesn't go away, it's frustrating. I remember I'd sprained my ankle my whole life, and I remember I got my first high ankle sprain my fifth year of college, and I thought I would practice the next day because it felt better than the 10 regular ankle sprains I've had in my life. I kind of walked for like a month and missed a whole month of football, and it's just, you don't really get it. It just lingers and it doesn't go away. And I haven't had a toe injury, so I can't totally relate to it in that way, but people who have, it sounds very similar, if not a lot worse, when you're dealing with turf toe compared to something like that. So something he's dealing with, but I know we're getting closer.
Okay, so that was almost a full 1 minute answer.
Yeah.
So he wasn't ticked the entire time.
No, and ultimately, you know, you lay out what you can as far as the details of it, but he doesn't know the level of pain. All he knows is the level of work that Brock's been able to put in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Quick update.
Yeah?
Steve Kerr in 12 minutes.
All right.
Not at 3:30, 3 o'clock. Steve Kerr. So get yourself, by the way, I know they're on the road. Phone or video?
Just phone.
Okay. All right. So still go to YouTube, though, because you get to look at our pretty faces.
Nice.
But Steve Kerr in 10 minutes right here on Willard and Dibbs. Let's go to Jack in Oakland. Hi, Jack. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I know I'm not Steve Kerr, but I like to weigh in on the Niner thing. I like what you said about the question of why are we not talking about the quarterback situation with Purdy and Mac anymore when it was all anyone would talk about like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And the reason is that Fred Warner is out. With all of the injuries that we had, if you have Fred Warner on the team, you have a chance at winning the Super Bowl. I think that's how I feel. I think that's how Kyle Shanahan feels and John Lynch feels. And that's the baseline. Once Fred Warner was out, or sorry, when Fred Warner was in, then the question is, well, how are we going to score on the other side of the ball? Who's going to be our quarterback? Is it going to be Mac? Is it going to be Purdy? But when he's out, it's like, we are not going to win this whole thing. So it's a little disheartening. And then on top of that, they've kind of proven to be interchangeable, the two quarterbacks throughout the year. So I think it really comes down to that. And I think the Niners know that. I think the media knows that because they have a pulse on this stuff a little bit more with the questions that they're asking. And I think the fans feel it, even if they can't quite pinpoint it. It sucks. I'm wearing my Niners shirt right now. I'm a huge fan, but it's like, it's been a blow. And even with Bosa going out, like, I think Bosa is amazing, of course, right? But Fred Warner is the heartbeat of the team, whether people know it or not. And I think that's what it is. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Jack, I think you're spot on. Appreciate the call. And I love that someone said this, because our text exchange on Wednesday, 2 days ago, was kind of about this. And Lucas, I think you admitted that this is kind of how you're feeling, where it's just like, have we lost our juice for this quarterback discussion? Because even at 5-3, are a lot of you like,
it's not happening.
This ain't going anywhere. Where's this going? And maybe that's because they looked so bad last week, right? Because the week before, it was kind of like, where's this going? And then they won on Sunday Night Football, and they're like, hey, maybe it's going somewhere. But now it's like, where is this actually going? And that bums me out a little bit, because I think that's a Super Bowl or bust mentality, and that's fine for if that's how you do it. I don't like doing it that way, because I think there's still good things and fun things that can happen in a season. I get that it's a little deflating, but I try to go week to week and stay in the moment a little bit on it, but I get it. I get it. There is a very deflated feel even to their winning record so far.
Yeah, I don't feel that. And it's just,
you don't.
No, it's a roller coaster. I don't feel deflated. Yes, you feel bummed that you don't have Bosa and Warner, and boy, we'd be better if we had them. Sure, it's football. So now I turn my attention to, who do you have? And you've already won a game without Nick Bosa, a couple of them. You won without Fred Warner. I know he got hurt early in that game, but you still, actually, there was no, the next game, you didn't have Fred Warner, and you won. You beat Atlanta on Sunday night. So I think that you start feeling bad about this team and yourself, and then they go out and they win like they did against the Rams. And then, okay, we're cooking with gas. We're going to Tampa, and you know, this could be a battle for home field in the playoffs, and you lose. Okay, we're not that good. You come home, you lose Fred Warner, woe is us. You beat Atlanta. All right, we're back, baby. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Oh, and then you go to Houston, you lose. Oh, boy, we're back in the doldrums. And so it's so week to week. I know it's a week to week league, but I think about teams around the NFL that have a right to and probably do feel down in the dumps. Like Arizona, you stink again. Carolina, you haven't been good in a decade. Miami, you just fired your GM. New Orleans, good Lord, you have no quarterback. You've got two or three guys who pretend. They should have Taysom Hill just play quarterback. But my point is this. Tennessee, you're a joke. Minnesota, you are praying that this quarterback you drafted is any good. There are a number of teams around the league that can really be down in the dumps. You're 5-3. Pull yourselves up by the bootstraps, Niner fan. Go to New York. You're favored. Win a damn game.
No, I like the take, but I think when I asked it to you, like, you're saying you don't feel deflated.
Not at 5-3.
I'm asking you if you feel like, do you feel the deflation among others? That's what I'm saying.
Somewhat, but
I feel that. I feel that significantly right now.
I think a lot of those people are the same ones who look at last night's Warrior game and say, see, we can't even beat the Bucks without Giannis. What are we even talking about? I like to live moment to moment in sports, and last night it was like, oh boy, I thought they were going to win this game.
Yeah,
I did
too. Right.
All right.
Stinker.
Ice cream or cookies? What should we have for dessert?
What'd you
the
pick?
Warrior, I had nothing.
Okay.
Fruit. Whatever. The wife was around.
Fruit.
Tonight's going to be a major sugar day.
You sound like Lance Armstrong. I was reading an article one time, and he's talking about their meal process as a family. And he's like, we do not believe in depriving ourselves of things. So we do have dessert, and we cut up fruit every
night. Nice. Every night.
I'm like, no,
that doesn't count. That's not fruit. So I live in the moment. I react to the games in the moment. But when you take a step back and you look at a Niner team, forget the injuries. What is it? 2,306 games lost since Shanahan took over.
Yeah.
The number's something like that. But you're 5-3. So if you go to the Giants tomorrow, Sunday rather, and you lose, okay, the Ram game is big. You lose to the Rams. Now you're 5-5. Okay, now we're starting to talk about must-win territory. But for now, you've had injuries. Your quarterback is questionable concern, and you're 5-3, and you're favored, and they don't have Scataboo. Go beat the Giants.
Or their entire defensive backfield. They all got announced out today.
Right, and they can't stop the run.
They have a really good pass rush and nothing else, and that's still a thing, because a really good pass rush can trickle it down and turn it into a very good defensive performance, but there are some matchups that skew the Niners' way. this weekend. There's no doubt about it. And they'll have two new pass rushers. I don't know if anybody cares. I don't know if anybody, like, I shouldn't say it that way. I don't know if anybody has confidence that this will change the pass rush. But, you know, Keon White and Cleveland Farrell, they're going to be out there. And they weren't last week against Houston.
Steve Kerr didn't confirm that Farrell will be playing. He said they have to make that decision tomorrow, and they have not made it yet.
Okay, well, Steve Kerr coaches the Warriors, so I hope he wouldn't. If he
My mind's
in,
on Steve Kerr coming
okay,
up in five
Steve
minutes.
Steve Kerr, first question, why are you talking about Cleveland Farrell? Why don't you keep his name out your mouth and figure out why Pods is throwing the ball into the stands after a steal? That's my first question for Steve.
And then we can talk about traveling with Steve because
I would like
one of Kuminga's travels was a travel, but the one
no, that's the thing. It's not
good
that it's
Lord.
It's not that it's not a travel. This is the problem. It's not that it's not a travel. It's that we watch so many other travels that are so much more egregious. So you're like, why are you calling that one?
Kuminga's first one was legitimately not a travel.
Whatever.
His second one was a gather, stagger, stumble. Gather, stagger, stumble.
All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Keep your calls coming, 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr, in just a moment, live from, I would imagine they're already in Indianapolis?
Yeah,
already in Indiana. Okay, Steve Kerr live from Indianapolis next on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.